We are now talking about translating your background into the language of your new career. And this is a very critical piece of reinvention. I like to say this is the crux of reinvention. This is where the rubber meets the road, because the biggest mistake that many people make in their reinvention is to send out their materials without translating them, or to try to move into a new field without translating their background. And this shows up like going out and sending out your resume, looking at a job and saying, wow, that job is great. And you know that you have the skills and talents for it. You read it, it sounds perfect for you. And you just ship off your resume, and what do you hear? Crickets. And I actually had a woman in a seminar say to me, I've sent out hundreds of resumes, and I haven't heard a thing. And I said to her, you probably haven't translated your background for them. You look at that posting and you know how you fit into that. But if you haven't bothered to put your background into their language, they can't possibly know whether or not you fit. You're asking them to translate it instead of you translating for them. And if they've gotten a stack of probably 50 or more resumes, they don't have the time. So if it's not completely obvious to them how you fit, you're going to be passed over, and that's why you've had no response to all of the opportunities that you've tried to put out there. So this is a critical piece. You want to make sure that your background is understood. Now, here's the thing. There are a couple areas of translating your background. The first and most natural one are the words that you use, your language. So consider the analogy of reinventing your career, going to a different industry is like moving to a foreign country. And you make that move, and now all of a sudden you're in Brazil, and you're trying to get a loaf of bread, and you're going in and you're saying, I want bread, and they're looking at you like you're crazy because you're using the word bread, which has no meaning now that you're in Brazil. So now you have to find the Portuguese word for bread, and until you understand how to say that word, which happens to be pão, if you don't know the word for bread, you're not going to get any bread, and they're not going to understand you, and you're going to have to go away hungry. Well, the same philosophy is the case in reinvention. You have to understand the words that they use to describe those things. Otherwise, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. You're not going to be understood, and you're not going to get what you want. So the words you use and how you use them to describe yourself are the crux of what needs to happen. This is what you need to translate. So you have to be very mindful of the words that you're using to describe yourself and to describe what you have to offer and to describe what you've done in the past. The favorite story that I like to tell is about my reinvention from Wall Street to entertainment. And my title on Wall Street was Director of Agency and Reseller Sales, which basically outside of that company or outside of that little financial information genre that I worked in had no meaning. And certainly when I started doing research for the entertainment field, I did not see any agency or reseller positions. So I knew that I had a problem because I just didn't see those words at all in any kind of job postings. So I reached out to a native, which is something we talk about in a different module, and I said, I am director of agency and reseller sales, because again, those words had no meaning in that industry. I said to this native, here's what I did on Wall Street. And I described it in the language of skills and talents, which are universal. So I said, hey, I worked with our partners in foreign countries that represented our products in their territories. What's that called? Does it exist, first of all? And he told me yes, and I said, well, what's it called? And he said, licensing. And then I said, okay, and in the U.S., I work with the partners that take our information and they sell it through their own channels. Does that exist in entertainment? Yes. What's that called? Distribution. So then I knew that the terms for what I did were licensing and distribution. So I could then use those terms in describing my background. Now here's the thing. As I said, my title was of agency and reseller sales. So I didn't change my title on my materials. Why? Because when a company calls human resources, they want to make sure that your title matches. Otherwise, there's going to be an issue. So you have to leave your title, whatever it is, even if it's untranslatable. But that doesn't mean you can't use those words to describe the content of what you do and to describe yourself in your email cover letters and materials. So even though my title on my resume said Director of Agency and Reseller Sales, in the blurb that described what I did, I said, licensing and distribution of financial information. Boom. All of a sudden, they got it. I did changed what my description was before from sales agents. That didn't have any meaning, too. Licensing and distribution of financial information, all of a sudden, it was in their language. They got immediately what I did, and that was attractive to them. And that's how I got my position. So you want to be able to have that same kind of translation experience. And they're little words. Another example I like to use is the word traffic, because traffic has different meanings depending upon the industry. If you're talking about the internet, traffic means the number of visitors to your website. But if you're talking about TV, traffic is actually how you schedule the ads. So, and if you're on radio, traffic is what you report on. So depending upon where you are, that word has three different meanings. And so you want to be able to be fluent and use the words that are in the industry that you're targeting, because if you say viewers, but you're moving into an industry where the term is really visitors, now all of a sudden they know you don't belong. And that's going to sound dissonant to them. And so therefore, again, it adds a little barrier. And when you're asking somebody to take that chance on you, you've got to lower all those barriers. You've got to make them feel like you understand, you get it, and that you belong, even though you're coming from somewhere else. You've got to speak their language. So those are the subtle things. So now let's talk about how you find the language that you need. First and foremost, most obvious, is to look at job postings. And if there are terms you don't understand, well, guess what? Translation time. And I always like to keep an actual little diary, a little list of all of the terms that you need, because this is what it takes to keep you fluent. You need a little dictionary, kind of like a little Berlitz guide to the key terms and phrases and understanding what they mean. So job postings, pulling those words out, what they say they are, what terms they use to describe whoever their customers are, all of that, you want to pull that out and keep that in your hip pocket. The other things that you want to look at are you want to look at industry and trade publications. And, in fact, there's a newsletter, an online newsletter that compiles newsletters, e-newsletters from all different industries. It's really helpful. Why you want to look at trade and industry publications is because they're not bothered to be translated for outsiders. They're going to use all that jargon because they're talking to their audience. So it's very, very helpful to start reading those publications, because not only will you be abreast of what's going on in the industry, which is part of this translation process, understanding the cultural milieu and what's happening, but you're going to be flooded with a bunch of terms that basically are going to sound like Greek. And that's, again, a rich motherload of terms that you want to be able to translate and start weaving into what you do, speaking the language. Also, following blogs of people who are in the industry, again, using terms that are for their audience. This is really critical. And sometimes they're actually specialty products for an industry. And that is another way. So looking at the products and seeing, you know, what are the instructions, how are those described, that can also be another angle in. Or you can take classes. If it's something that it has an academic bent or it's a hot industry, so a lot of schools offer classes, it's another great way to learn the industry terms that are being used. Right. Now, the other piece is that, and I kind of touched on this, is that beyond just the language, part of understanding the culture and part of translating your background is to fit within the society of the industry. And that means understanding the trends, it means understanding the news, and it means understanding the social mores, so to speak. And this is also, it's very subtle, but it's very important, because every industry has its own cultural norm. It has its own way of doing things that makes sense to everybody there, but outside really don't make too much sense. And part of your immersion into the new foreign country of that industry means knowing those cultural mores and following them. Because just as if you're in a foreign country and you do something that is against those cultural constructs, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Everybody will be looking at you kind of horrified. Well, the same is true in reinvention. You want to be able to fit within that industry. And one example that I like to give is somebody actually that was on the dais with me at a conference that I spoke at. And she was talking about how she had given a talk to an industry of television writers about using LinkedIn to connect for social networking. And she said that it kind of fell flat. She could feel it was falling flat. But she didn't find out until the next day that for television writers, it's not about connecting through LinkedIn. In fact, in that specialized circle, they were all connected through Facebook, and the goal was to be funny through Facebook. So again, these are the kinds of things that are really important to know, because if you're trying to make connections with TV writers and you're trying to do so through LinkedIn, they're going to know you don't belong. You need to understand what the cultural mores are and make sure that you show up and that you fit. So again, learning to assimilate, learning what those things are, and how do you find out the cultural mores? Well, this is where your native contact comes in really handy. Again, you've done your homework, you've done your research, so you ask them, so where do people in this industry congregate? What do they do socially? What are their goals? What kind of people, personality-wise, succeed? These are the kinds of things that help you fit and understand what's happening within that culture so that you can then begin to translate your experience. Again, another example from my transition from Wall Street to entertainment. When I'm picked up the phone to call, one of the things that I asked this particular native was, again, about culturally what was important. And as you might imagine, as he said, socializing was important in entertainment. Of course, that's the whole image. Everybody's schmoozing over meals or schmoozing over dinners. Well, then I knew that in my materials, that I needed to highlight the fact that while I was on Wall Street, that part of my job was to entertain the foreign partners when they came to town. In fact, my boss, he hated that. So basically it was tasked to me to do all the entertaining because he never wanted to go out with any of them and, in fact, refused. So I did all the entertaining of all the foreign clients. Well, understanding that that was an important part of the culture allowed me to pull that aspect of my background out and to highlight it in the materials so that they knew that I now translated my background. I said, okay, I know this is important in this new industry, so let me pull it out, let me frame it, and now all of a sudden they could hook into this, and I made sense to them. So I'm using their terms, but I'm also showing them that culturally I get what's important in that industry, and I pull it out of my background. So I've translated my background. I don't force them to look for this. I pull it out, and I say, here are the things in my background that show that I understand and I fit into your culture. So this is the subtlety of translating your background. It's not only using the words, but it's pulling out those things that show that you will be able to fit in that industry. Whatever it is in your background and your experience that demonstrates that you get the culture, this is how you translate your background.